Yes, it's that time of the week. We are talking travel, and it's a good time to talk travel because it is the long weekend. But
exactly, and everyone's going to be travelling, no doubt.
That's right.
Well, a lot of people will
be. That's right. But you're talking about New Zealand and Egypt today, aren't you, Sal?
Yes.
I don't think people are going to go there for the long weekend. Maybe for a bit
longer. You could
go
to New Zealand, maybe.
I suppose.
Yeah, you could do a little trip to Auckland if you wanted to for a few days. That'd be fine.
I wouldn't mind a trip to Auckland for a few days. That'd be lovely.
The hard-working Amanda.
I know.
Many hats. And she even baked today.
I did.
She's part of the bake-off now that we're doing on a Friday. It's classic.
Todd gave me an 8.5 out of 10. So.
Oh, that's good.
I know. He said that it was very nice, except that it was a little bit hard around the edges.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But then he gave me extra marks because it was fresh apple, not canned apple. I wouldn't use canned apple anyway.
No, of course you wouldn't.
But anyway, this is a travel show, not a cooking show.
I know. We could do both because when we travel, we love to try different foods, don't we?
We do.
So it is often part of our travelling culture as well, I think, the food and
it
as
sure
well
is.
As the what we're seeing and what we're doing. So, yeah.
It sure is.
But we're continuing on our journey to New Zealand that we started last week. I covered the North Island and we start with the South this week and finish off with a lovely tour that can probably do a combination of just about everything in New Zealand.
Fantastic.
And then we'll talk a little bit about Egypt, which we haven't talked about for a long time, and such a fascinating history.
This is Talking Travel with Amanda McReed and Sally Lucas. And Sally, we're starting with New Zealand?
Yes, back to New Zealand.
Okay.
And why not?
Why not?
Exactly. So we did do the North Island. I think we finished up in Wellington, didn't we? I think we didn't get across to the south, the start
no,
of
I don't
the
think
south. But anyway, after leaving New Zealand, of course, you can fly, but it's lovely just to do the ferry crossing because it's such a pretty ferry trip just from Wellington to Picton anyway. So that's another nice thing you can include when you go down there. And once you get down there, of course, you've got all sorts of lovely, interesting areas, particularly your wineries, of course, all around that area. And even across to Napier now, there's wineries in that area as well, if you're interested. And, of course, you've got Nelson, and there's north of Nelson, there's some pretty undiscovered, almost secret little coves and bays that look just absolutely gorgeous if you've got time to do it, depending on how much time you've got. And then, of course, you can head down and through to Christchurch. It's a pretty drive in itself. And along the way, you can stop and see seals, etc. at Kaikoura. And then when you get into Christchurch, I mean, we all know how dreadfully it has suffered from the earthquake, and you can still see remnants of that, of course, because that was a lot of damage. But, I'm sure it'll be getting back once it's complete to the beautiful city it always has been. It's such a pretty little city and beautiful. The Avon River runs through it. You've got this beautiful park that you can wander through or cycle through. And then you're close to the little French based township of Akaroa. So you can go a little day trip out to Akaroa, which is a nice thing to do out of Christchurch as well. So it's lots to see and do. And from there, you can continue down and do that lovely Arthur's Pass, which takes you across to the Alps in the Canterbury region. And that is just beautiful, of course. And if you want to, you can do that as a train trip, like the Transalpine Pass, which they've got a few famous little trains in New Zealand. That's one of them. The other one is the one that does go from Christchurch to Picton. And there's another one that goes from, pardon me, Auckland up to Wellington. So, and of course, don't forget, I don't think we mentioned last week to the North Island, I don't know whether I did or not now, but the Bay of Islands too. If you've got the opportunity to go north of Auckland, of course, once you get up to the Bay of Islands and Paihia and go out to the island there, it's just stunning because that's where the whole sort of history of New Zealand is, and the treaty was signed at Waitangi between the Maoris and, the white people. So it's a very important part of New Zealand historically. So I'm digressing there back to the north. But anyway, getting back down to the south, yes, you go across, of course, to the other side of there where you do the beautiful coastline where all your glaciers are. So you come across into places like Greymouth, which is famous for its New Zealand jade or greenstone, Hokitika, and you continue down until you get into Franz and Fox Joseph glaciers, which is just absolutely amazing. And of course, they're still growing bit by bit. And then from there, you come down through the gorgeous little towns of Arrowtown and Wanaka to get you into Christchurch. And obviously from Christchurch, then you can go down in Tiano, and there's glowworm caves there as well as being at Waitomo in the North Island. Tiano has glowworm caves also if you're
well,
only doing
nice.
One island. Yeah, you might not be doing both islands. The opportunity, if you haven't got time to do like even an overnight cruise on Milford or Doubtful Sound, you can at least do a day trip and then do that. The only trouble is there's one road in and one road out. so you can't come out a different way.
Right. And I know a lot of traffic?
No, not well. It's a long time since I've done it, so I'll let you know next year.
Okay.
When I go. But when I did it last time, and I mean, it cost me extra money, but I wanted to do it, was I took a helicopter flight out so I could see the Alps from the air. And he flew us over this incredible single-drop waterfall, and I kept looking, and I couldn't see where it reached the bottom. You know, so it was amazing to do that. So I thought, well, I'm going to see the same stuff if I go back by coach. So I paid the extra to fly back, and it was absolutely worth it. Anything like that where you've got a scenic vista, whether it's fixed wing or helicopter, I think it's always worthwhile doing the flight because you don't get any idea of the expanse or the beauty of what you're seeing from just on the ground.
And it's an experience that you'll remember.
Oh, definitely. And every one of those that I've done are vividly imprinted in my mind. Even the one I did at Mount Cook, I remember going in on a fixed wing plane, obviously, that had skis on it, you know. So we landed on Mount Cook and got out and jumped into onto the snow, and was snow up to my knees. And I thought, oh, my God, I don't think I had the right shoes on from memory for that. But I should have had gumboots. But, you know, any of these flights, they do stay etched in your memory because you're doing something extremely special. Mm. And, I mean, I know some people aren't keen on, you know, small aircraft and small planes, and they won't do it. But, look, if you're not don't have that fear, please always try and incorporate it into or build it into your budget. Because if it is something, even in our own country, like whether it's over Kakadu or whether it's over Broome and the Kimberley and the Mitchell Falls, there's always an incredible scenic flight you can do to give you a different perspective. So then, of course, you can continue down through all that beautiful fjordland area, as I said, the national parks, the endless hiking and walking trails, the Milford Track, so much you can do down in that area. One of the highest rainfalls in the world, so expect that. Very lush and green, of course. And then you can get down as far as Invercargill, of course, where you have the fastest Indian museum, if you're into that wonderful man.
Oh, yes, that was a great movie.
Whose name escapes me. Oh, what was his name?
I don't know. But Anthony Hopkins. Oh, I thought you were talking about the actual man.
No. I was talking about this. Anthony Hopkins played the role. I just can't think of the man. I'm sure our listeners will know who we're talking about. I've watched the movie a couple of times.
Brilliant movie.
And that man still holds, even though he's now deceased, still that world record for what he did on this old bike across those salt pans in Utah, I think it was. Yeah.
It was incredible.
So, and then from there, if you want, you can go down to Stewart Island. It's probably better if you do an overnight to give you a bit more time. You can fly to Stewart Island, and you could go by ferry, of course. You'd need to fly if you're just going to do it as a day trip. But obviously, if you go by ferry, it's lovely again, and it deserves some time as well. So that's just a brief précis of the South Island. Really, I haven't even touched on all of it. I mean, you've got much more to see. It's a beautiful island, very stunning, and I can't wait to get back next year.
Can't wait to hear more about it.
Yeah.
Well, and we're going to Egypt, Sally.
Egypt and Jordan, yes. Fascinating part of the world, of course. I don't know about you, but I've loved, even when I was a teenager, reading books, anything to do with Egyptian history. It just fascinated me, you know, to read about Tutankhamun or any of those wonderful, you know, pharaohs and what they discovered. And it just, ancient civil, them and the Aztecs and the Incas, those three always fascinated me, and I'd grab any book I could find and read about it. And it was just, and I just still think it's so ancient. You know, we've got so many ancient lands that, like, I haven't even been to, let alone anybody else. Like Libya, for example. And of course, we've not been there for years because it's been troubled, you know. So, but it's got some of the most ancient ruins you'll see anywhere, probably just as much as Egypt. But it's not a country that.
Well, just funnily enough that you said Libya, because when I was a kid, I used to say that I wanted to grow up and live in Libya.
Oh, did
I don't
you?
Even know why I said that. But
Maybe you just like the sound of the name.
Maybe. I've never been to Libya.
But it is interesting, isn't it? So this particular journey, it's a 25-day itinerary, which really means you're going to do it in depth. And with this package, it does include your airfares, which is another great thing, I think, so that you're not having to fight to find an airfare to get you to these unusual sometimes destinations. So it's not easy to find on the web. So that's all taken care of for you. And you're going to go, of course, you're going to cruise down the Nile, aren't you? Of course. I mean, that's just a must. And then you're going to have a nice swim so you can just float in the Dead Sea. You're going to see the wonders of Petra, which is just the most incredible looking building that was carved out of this pink coloured rock. And if you're there like at sunset or sunrise, it's just amazing. It just glows.
I'm just looking at your picture now. And I didn't know what that was, but no, it does look amazing.
And it was called the Lost City, and it's a very narrow little cleft, if you like, or gorge, tiny narrow strip of land that's eroded eventually between, you know, two huge sort of cliffy big rocks, and then you go in, and then suddenly there's this city of Petra. And it was carved by the Nabataeans more than 2,000 years ago. So when you think what they did back then, it just never ceases to amaze me. Mm. With not the tools or any of the information we've got today, or the machinery or the equipment or the computers to let us get it right and make sure the measurements are correct, you know, and all of these people have said, correct, like they're not out of whack, you know, the measurements are exact. And it's just astounding.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But even, you know, the Great Pyramids in themselves, which are 4,500 years ago, you know, they're still, even though there's some erosion, but they're still there, you know, and the Sphinx is still there. So I think this is just a very, if you're interested in Egypt and Jordan, they're two fascinating countries. And you even go to a calligraphy house and learn how to do calligraphy, which is an ancient art form, of course, as you probably know. And you go into the Wadi Rum Desert and you're just doing so much interesting stuff. Even going to a farm in Egypt before having a lunch on this farm as well. You go to the Commonwealth War Cemetery, a military museum associated with the Battle of El Alamein is included. Going to temples, of course, which are just famous. Tutankhamun's tomb, of course, and just lots of museums that are just fascinating, which have just recently, the new museum, the largest one they've got now that's taken years in the making, where they can exhibit much more of all their past pharaohs and their belongings and their bits and pieces. So if you've never thought of going to Egypt, or if you have and just haven't got round to it, this is, again, done by Bunnings, who's a local South Australian firm who've been doing tours for a number of years, and they're always escorted by someone in their family group. So you're getting someone that's been there many times, who's an experienced person in these areas, and again, you've only got 20 people. So it's a great tour to do. And again, they only run these tours, of course, when it's not hot. You would never go to Egypt and Jordan in July, August. You know, you would literally almost die of the heat. And people do have heat stroke and so on because it's just too hot, as you can imagine, all of these desert areas. So usually from November on into sort of February is a good time to do these tours. And that's when they virtually do, you know, have most of their departures, obviously, are in those months. But just a fascinating place. If you've never read up on, Egypt or Jordan, they've got some really interesting museums. And the fact that they, you know, to make the Aswan Dam, they actually moved the Temple of Luxor, you know, so it's just some incredible stuff. And the Nile, you know, I just think, sounds romantic to me, like floating down the Nile. Like, I think a lot of these rivers, you conjure up an image.
Yeah, I think of death on the Nile.
It doesn't happen on the Nile, does it? It happens on land.
I'm going to say everyone dies
but,
at the Nile.
Death on the Orient Express. Yeah. Yes, that one you could say, yeah, I don't want to go on the Orient Express.
But I do want to go on the Orient Express.
Well, you've got to add that one to your bucket list as well,
Amanda.
Doing
Agatha Christie tour.
It's growing, your bucket list.
It is.
It's definitely growing.
Forever growing.
What was that movie, though, that you're talking about? It was had Michael Douglas in it, didn't it? The one on the Nile, something that was set in the Nile.
Oh,
one
I
of those
thought it was just called
mystery
Death
ones.
On the Nile.
Was he in that one?
It's a Poirot movie. Death on the Nile, and it's got Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, it was. I know who you mean, Inspector Poirot.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of another one then that maybe that had Michael Douglas in it.
I'll look it up. We'll investigate.
The Funken Wagnall.
Oh, dear. Thank you to Kathleen, who just called up and clarified. We were talking about a movie with Michael Douglas on the Nile. It was Jewel of the Nile.
Yes.
And, that was a great movie. So,
it was.
And I was actually talking about a different one, Death on the Nile.
Yeah, you were.
And that's
a
more recent one with Kenneth Branagh.
He's a great actor.
Both good movies, so check them out.
Yeah, check them out.
And
go back.
The guy on the motorbike.
Burt Munro.
Yes, Burt Munro, World's Fastest Indian. Yes. Yep. So check out that movie as well. Anthony Hopkins.
Well, I'm going to the museum instead. So anyway.
Well, you enjoy that.
So I'm still on the track of New Zealand at the moment. I thought today I'd mention this itinerary because it's really quite special. It's a 19-day and they're calling it the ultimate rail cruise and coach. And it really is the ultimate because you are doing it in absolute style. And it's a combination, as it indicates, where you're doing four different rail journeys, as I mentioned earlier, the lovely rail journeys you can do. And there's four little, three day trips that involve cruising, like cruising out of the Bay of Islands, doing the cruise from Wellington to Picton, a cruise on Lake Wakateep on the old Lady Earnslaw. Do you know that she has been operating forever? I went on that in 1967, that vessel.
That's fantastic.
It's a paddle steamer and it's still operating and taking people around.
I love paddle steamers.
Yeah, yeah. They're James great. Took Finn and that on it last year when they went to New Zealand. He absolutely loved it, adored it. And then you're doing an overnight cruise in Doubtful Sound as well, which is lovely. So this is an excellent itinerary because you're doing from the top all the way to the bottom. So you are, you know, Bay of Islands, as I mentioned, all through that top area, all the way down, doing all these lovely journeys, and you're having a lot of inclusions, all your sightseeing, all your breakfasts. 12, and they're all specialty dinners. They're not just eating at a local cafe. You're getting some specialty dinners at specifically beautiful restaurants and settings. And as I said, those four train journeys as well. So there's no added extras, and you've got a full-size coach that would take 40 people with only 20 seats in it that are like business class seats. If you like, that's the way I can explain it, with a two-door access to the bus. So you've got 20 people, only 10 could be getting off each. So imagine how quick it is to load and unload your passengers. And you have a dedicated side storage with tray table cup holder, and there's a restroom even on board and Wi-Fi. So you're doing it in absolute luxury. You're seeing the best of New Zealand from top to bottom. So continue. I mean, you have a think about that. It operates from, it did operate this year, but I think most of those are booked out. So I'm really promoting the one from September next year through to May 27.
Who's that with?
And it's with Grand Pacific.
Right.
So Grand Pacific Touring. And they do some other lovely tours. If you haven't got 19 days, there are other tours. And if you don't want the business class version, they have three levels of their coaches and sightseeing, depending on your budget. So, you know, if you think that one's going to be too expensive, you can probably get one.
The last one and ride a bike.
Yeah. Or on your scooter or your skateboard or whatever.
Yeah. Not quite. Really.
But, yes, yeah, so they have what they call a mid-range, then their economy range in their seating and how many passengers. So hopefully each one will have more passengers than the business class, and also your accommodation would drop down to three and a half star instead of 4.5 to 5 star and so on. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, three different price structures, if you like, that you can do that on, which is good because that means it covers everything for everybody. Now, it's your last chance at the moment to sail on some lovely cruises down the Rhine or into Bordeaux, which have got up to 20% off. This is for 2026, and the offer finishes, though, very soon, and that's on the 30th of September. And there's also some Italian escapades and cruise and rail adventures. So some river cruises are still on sale.
Well, that's September. Hang on. We're in October.
Oh, sorry, not till October. No, they're oh, yes, sorry, that one, that's my mistake. That was last week's.
Oh.
And I've picked it up again for this week's.
I'll take that one away.
I'm losing track of my dates.
Go on.
Now, Region Seven Seas, this one is correct, and they've got a new sort of, if you like, offer to people who cruise with Region Seven Seas, and they are 5-star cruising. Now, this starts this month on the 15th of October. They've got more than 700 destinations and over 30 ships for you to cruise from. And they're giving you what they call a loyalty status, depending, I guess, on how many cruises you do, and your status keeps increasing, so you're getting better, you know, rebates and better deals. So that's something to worth considering, and that can give you anything up to 35% off select sailings, and you get a free two-category suite upgrade as well. So that's 49 cruises for you to choose from initially. They're not on all of their cruises, but there's 49 to choose from. Mainly off at the moment is off their European voyages. So keep that in mind, and that ends the 31st of October.
Great.
So forget that other one I just talked about. That's gone. Well, it's not gone. It's the cruises are still running, but the offer
is gone.
It's gone. Tassie, little Tassie, which we love and adore. Spirit of Tasmania at the moment has got a sale of 25% off, so long as you're travelling between now and the 31st of January on selected sailings across the Bass Strait. So that's quite incredible. So bring your car, as we usually do, bring your car, off you go on an adventure of a lifetime, and that's a pretty good saving, 25%.
They're stopping at different places, I assume?
No, it's just across the Bass Strait from Geelong.
Oh, just to get across.
Yeah, right. Just to get across the Bass Strait. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's for you to do your own thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Coral Expeditions have got some lovely unbeatable offers as well for Tassie. They cruise down there when they're not, it's not the right time to cruise the Kimberley in the north. So, you know, they come down and head south. And they've got a couple of lovely cruises with 4 nights and 6 nights duration, going again where they're nudging into regions of Tasmania that you cannot get to by any other means. So they really are very special. And they're even doing a New Year's escape on the 2nd of January, which is a 4-night, it's an inaugural one for them actually, a 4-night coastal adventure, which you get a bonus of 2 nights over New Year's Eve on the waterfront.
Lovely.
So that would be, and then they've got a wilderness escape on the 27th of January, and you get 3 nights post, pre or post cruise at the Pump House. I don't know if you've even seen photos of the Pump House, but it's in the sort of the bottom end of Lake St. Clair, coming down from Cradle Mountain, and it's an old pump house that's been converted to luxury boutique accommodation, and you're right on the lake. There's nothing else around you.
Very nice.
So it's very romantic and very secluded, and it's usually very, very expensive. So getting that bonus of those extra 3 nights is really quite special. As I said, you've just got to get in, limited space until sold out, basically. So, look, that's a few of some of the deals. And just, oh, before I finish, the ski season's coming up, obviously, in the Northern Hemisphere. And Snow and Ski have got some great deals out at the moment for 25-26 for Canada, if you're interested. And you've got to, some of them have flights, some do not, but staying at either Sun Peaks or Fernie, Whistler, a whole range, Banff, Lake Louise. They've got some great early bird savings if you're a skier. Take advantage of those while you can. And, yes, so it sort of starts from the 9th of October, again, until sold out for your best prices there.
Wonderful. Lots of deals there for today.
Yes.
Thank you very much,
Sally.
We'll catch up with you next week.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.